On to item number eight, the San Luis Obispo County Stormwater Management Plan. Mr. Thomas?
Yes. Ryan Lodge will be making a presentation to the board.
And if there's anyone that wishes to speak on this item, please fill out a testimony card and have it brought up to myself.
Okay, so Ryan Lodge will make the first presentation regarding San Luis Obispo County Stormwater Management Plan. And Ryan will be followed by the County of San Luis Obispo, I believe, and then the Natural Resources Defense Council.
And before Ryan gets started, we did send out a notice, I think, in February or March about some newspaper articles that NRDC submitted, and those have been accepted into the record.
Okay. Good morning, members of the board. My name is Ryan Lodge. I'm a water resource control engineer. I'm here today to present for your adoption a resolution which would approve the San Luis Obispo County Stormwater Management Program. The county originally submitted their stormwater management program in March of 2003. They revised and resubmitted it in May of 2004 and June of 2006, incorporating comments from both the public and board staff. We posted the stormwater management program in October of 2004 and again in August of 2006 for public comment. And board staff drafted a resolution that's before you today and posted that in January of this year also to receive comments from the public. In the process of developing their stormwater management program, the county identified pollutants of concern using CCAMP data, Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Program, also common pollutants of concern found in urban stormwater. The Slo County permit areas, the major areas include Cambria, Templeton, Los Osos, Oceano, and Napomo. There are some smaller areas, including Santa Margarita, Garden Farms, and then the urban fringes around the city of San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, and Atascadero.
Ryan, is the permit area everything on the map or just the...
No, it's the yellow areas.
And what about the gray?
The gray areas are cities that will have their own permit coverage.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go through the little bit more detailed maps of the five major areas and also provide you with the information of where the CCAMP monitoring locations are in relation to the permit areas. The red dots indicate the CCAMP monitoring points. This is the Cambria area. And again, the county used the information from CCAMP to develop a list of pollutants of concern. They used that information to and the menus of best management practices for the EPA menu to choose best management practices specific to San Luis Obispo County itself. This is Templeton area. There's three CCAMP monitoring locations close to Templeton. The gray area to the north is the city of Paso Robles, and then the gray area to the south is the city of Atascadero. Again, those cities will have their own permit coverage. Actually, the city of Paso Robles currently has permit coverage. This is the Los Osos area. This is Morro Bay up here. The white area, actually, the land and the sea is all white, but this is the bay up here. We have Napomo, which the only major creeks are on the east side of the Highway 101, which is running along here. And then this is Oceano, which, again, areas up here. This is Grover Beach and City of Rio Grande. They'll both have their own permits once we approve their stormwater management programs. So the county went through this process to choose the best management practices. They developed their stormwater management program to include 71 BMPs and over 170 measurable goals to be implemented over the first five-year period, the majority of which are will actually be implemented in the first 3 years of the program. Program includes extensive public education outreach efforts, which includes BMPs to protect sea otters. Now, because there may be a link between cat waste and sea otter mortality, the county will distribute pet waste educational materials to animal shelters, pet stores, 4-H clubs, farm supply stores, in an effort to educate the public on proper disposal of pet waste. They'll also adopt a pet waste ordinance in an effort to reduce the pet waste discharges into surface waters. The county will also implement an anti-litter campaign through their public education outreach efforts. BMPs include installing signage at the top areas of the top dumping areas in the permit within the permit area, signage in popular tourist areas, and in county buildings. The county will also ban styrofoam from all county facilities. Styrofoam, once it gets, if it's not properly disposed of, can be very harmful to sea life. The county will broadcast the rivers to sea plastic debris video on local public cable access television. And they'll promote the use of cloth reusable bags instead of plastic bags throughout the county. In an effort to, as a way to evaluate their public education outreach and also their public participation programs, they will be conducting surveys in permit years 1, 3, and 5. The first survey in permit year 1 will establish a baseline, understanding the knowledge of the citizens. In permit years 3 and 5, they'll use that information to better tailor their program and better tailor the message that they need to get out to the community. Other BMPs include the San Luis Obispo County Partners for Water Quality. It's a group that includes all of the cities within the county, some of the community service services districts, and also some nonprofit groups. It's basically a group that meets to discuss water quality issues within the county, to bounce ideas off each other, to share resources. It's an excellent resource for the county. It's also an excellent resource for all the communities within the county. The county commits to meeting twice or every 2 months in the stormwater management plan, but they're currently actually meeting on a monthly basis to ramp up to get implement the stormwater management program.
Ryan, do regional board staff attend those meetings?
We do on occasion.
Okay.
We don't go every time, but.
And Ryan, you mentioned cities participate in this.
Yes.
Are these the cities that are going to have their own permits issued to them?
Correct. The county will inspect their entire collection system and clean it twice per year. This is an aggressive program from both a municipal operation standpoint and also an illicit discharge and detection standpoint. For municipal operations, it ensures a properly functioning system while removing pollutants from the system. From an illicit discharge detection standpoint, they will be tracing all dry weather flows and any illicit discharges that are found during the inspection and cleaning process back to the source and eliminating them using their illicit discharge ordinance.
Have they been doing any inspections on their own up until now?
I don't know if they've been doing inspections. I know they've been cleaning the system on a regular basis, not as frequently as twice a year, but we could ask the county.
Because I'm kind of curious, you know, they're proposing something, and I'm wondering what it's based on. You know, is twice a year too much, or is it insufficient? And do they already know of some problem spots in their collection system that maybe they should be, you know, getting on top of?
Right. I would envision within the first couple of years they'd have a very pretty good idea of the problem areas if they don't already have those, and they can concentrate their efforts in those areas.
Okay.
If they need to do more, and also if there are areas that just don't need that twice a year, they could probably scale back That would be something they'd have to bring up in their annual report process.
All right. Maybe the county can address that when they come up and give their presentation.
And the county will also track all illicit discharge reports, not only from their own staff, but from the public. They're going to track all the follow-up actions that are taken and the resolution of the reports. And they'll evaluate that every year to make their process more efficient. Another important part of the county's stormwater management program is low-impact development for post-construction, new development, and redevelopment. The county partnered with the Water Board and co-sponsored a workshop in November of 2005 that brought together low-impact development experts from around the country to discuss implementation of low-impact development. The county also, following up on that workshop, applied for and received two grants to implement low-impact development projects in the county, which are the grants are currently underway, and the projects are in Templeton and in Santa Margarita. The Templeton low-impact development project basically consists of a street retrofit project. They'll be installing bioswales, infiltration trench, and they'll be narrowing the streets. They're doing this rather than the conventional curb and gutter, sidewalk, and wider paving practices. This will cut down on the amount of runoff from the site, the volume of runoff, also reduce the amount of pollutants that are coming off the site. And the county will be discussing more specifics about these projects. I'm just bringing them up to let you know that they're a part of the swamp. The LID is a part of the swamp. The actual projects are not included in the swamp. Like I said, they're already underway and they're grant funded. the second project, which is the Santa Margarita low impact development project, includes a demonstration project with enhanced wetlands and bioswales. It also includes developing a low-impact development design standards manual and an ordinance update. The low-impact development design standards manual and the ordinance update are in their stormwater management program, so they are committing to completing those. Also, the ordinance will be updated to require low-impact development in San Luis Obispo County, which means that low-impact development will be the standard for construction, for development, and for redevelopment within the county. Total budget for the two projects is $1.4 million, of which $350,000 is matching funds from the county, which demonstrates a commitment, a significant commitment by the county to implement low-impact development and to make it work. Also, low-impact development BMPs align with our organization's vision for protecting water quality and managing lands to maintain healthy functioning watersheds. It helps accomplish this by minimizing impervious surfaces, reducing pollutant loads, and reducing the volume of stormwater that's discharged from sites to better match pre-development levels. The overall county budget for their stormwater management program is $1.64 million. That's for year one implementation. And the breakdown of the costs is shown on the board.
I thought I saw something in here about $138,000 for something. And what?
Right, the $138,000 is there to fund their stormwater coordinator position,
okay,
which is the person that has been working on developing the stormwater management program up to this point, essentially developing the permit application. Once they have permit coverage, the county is committed to $1.64 million to implement the program. This graph just shows a comparison between other Region 3 communities, which are the blue bars on the left, and also with the Phase 1 communities that are included in the statewide cost survey. San Luis Obispo County is committing the budget boils down to $70 per household. And although it's not the largest in terms of per household costs, the overall budget for their program is the largest in our region. We received comments from the groups on the board there. The comments included are included in the agenda material, and also the staff response to comments are included. I'm just going to briefly go over one of the main comments, which is the comment that the stormwater management plan contains too many BMPs that are geared towards developing or establishing program components. Staff response to that is that the general permit allows for a five-year ramping up period. The county swamp includes commitments to adopt numerous ordinances, develop protocols and manuals that are specific to San Luis Obispo County itself. And the county swamp includes enough information to determine that it will meet the MEP standard by the end of the five-year permit cycle, and it will protect water quality. As the county submits program elements, Water Board staff will review them. There's also opportunity for the public. All ordinances and manuals and protocols will be posted for 30-day public comment so that the public has an opportunity to comment on those and provide feedback. And also the county itself will provide more detail about the more specific BMPs during their presentation. And then the Natural Resource Defense Council will also provide a presentation with their views following the county's presentation this morning. We also received letters of support from the city of San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, and Pismo Beach, and the Los Osos and the Pomo Community Services Districts, urging the board to approve the county's plan today. In addition to that, the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary submitted a letter authorizing the discharge of stormwater into the sanctuary in the county areas that do discharge into the sanctuary, as long as they implement the stormwater management program. Again, that's before you today with the resolution changes. The resolution before you today contains numerous changes to the program, but ultimately contains, they're basically stormwater management program clarifications that make the program stronger. I'd just like to conclude by pointing out that this program will effectively address stormwater quality issues in San Luis Obispo County. It's a program that includes elements that are consistent with our organizational goals, including minimizing impervious surfaces through low-impact development and implementing projects that will have attained tangible results in improving water quality. So with that, staff would recommend that you adopt the resolution approving the stormwater management program for San Luis Obispo County. Are there any questions?
I have one question, and I'm sure there's lots of others, and there will be other questions. I think it's fair to say that one criticism from the environmental public interest groups is that there's a delay in implementation of many components of the swamp. I think there's other criticisms that could be pulled out that are significant, and one being that they're from their perspective, appears to be a lack of definition for what's actually going to be done and to what degree and how frequently. And it's kind of a comment that, you know, I think we've seen before with the other swamps that have come before us. So do you have any general?
Well, basically, the elements that are going to be developed are programs that don't currently exist in this county. It's difficult to provide detail for a program that you're going to develop in the first year or two. San Luis Obispo County is a little bit different than other swamps that have been approved so far, in that Santa Barbara County had Project Clean Water already up and running. They had a lot of program elements that had been in place for several years. Similarly, Monterey County had elements of their program that they had implemented in terms of water quality monitoring and things like that. San Luis Obispo County doesn't have that type of a program in this area historically, and so a lot of the elements need to be developed for the county. Also, they want to develop a program that's effective for this county, and so they want to make sure that they evaluate all the information that's out there and look at programs that are departments in their county government to figure out the best way to implement them. Mm. It does take time to do that. In terms of the delay of implementation, It's a very aggressive program in terms of implementing the BMPs. They have over 70 BMPs, the majority of which are going to be implemented in permit years 1, 2, and 3. And again, the regulations allow for a 5-year ramping up period.
Okay. Quick question about the sea otter issue. And tell me if staff has an approach to handling this, maybe region-wide or at least in those areas where we have, you know, hot spots for disease. What about testing for the parasite? So that we know where it exists.
I think there have been studies in terms of where the sea otters have been. There are hotspot areas where the sea otters are infected, but I don't know in terms of water quality monitoring.
Well, didn't we do something with Monterey?
Monterey is essentially conducting a study, I think, in the first 2 years of their program, and they'll in year one, and then they'll also basically make recommendations for BMPs in year two.
Okay. And here we have Morro Bay.
Correct.
As part of this swamp.
The Los Osos is in
right.
This swamp. Morro Bay will have their own.
Okay. Is there any
program.
Need to do any parasite testing in and around Morro Bay to look for that parasite?
From my understanding, the evidence is that it's in cat waste. And so the BMP is in place to eliminate cat waste from getting into stormwater is the best way to address that. However, I'm not an expert in the biology of that. But that's from my understanding, that that's the best way at this point to deal with the issue is to eliminate the pet waste from getting into the surface waters in the first place.
Okay. Well, I understand that that's the BMP to use, but
right.
I always like to step back and think, you know, do we have a documented problem there? And maybe that BMP is insufficient. Maybe there needs to be different BMPs used. And if we had more information, we might use a different suite of BMPs. And I know the approach with phase two is not to require monitoring per se.
Right.
You kind of assume you go ahead and start to implement these BMPs and you should achieve improvement in water quality.
Right.
But, you know, that sea otter issue seems to be something that does require a different level of our interest in trying to get on top of it.
Right. And I'm not sure what the costs would be associated with doing water quality monitoring for that type of a constituent. I'm just not familiar enough with it.
And just popped into my mind, what about C-Camp? Has C-Camp considered doing anything like that where it has stations near hotspots?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
We can get Karen Rush.
Right, and we'll talk about that later. Yeah. Dr. Hunter?
Chair Young, I also have questions about C-Camp. In terms of my understanding is that there's the program cycles every 5 years into an active data gathering mode in a given region. I think what are there, 5 different components of the C-Camp broader region, and they cycle through these areas. So the data is actually once that 5-year period occurs. Are they modifying the data that they're collecting depending on what kinds of chemistry is showing up in the water quality data, and is the otter situation being incorporated in that? I know you're not going to answer that question, but
right,
that would be the question I would have. Oh, I see Karen Wester in the room.
Got
the authority here. Do we want to ask Karen to come up?
We can
do
that.
I think you need to repeat the question, though.
Yeah, Karen, we have some C-Camp questions for you.
what timing she has.
Yeah. Planned it.
Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
We were, in Ryan's presentation, he laid out for us the C-Camp sites that are going to be, that have been used by the by the county as a form of information feeding into the development of the swamp. And Chair Young raised questions about the otter situation and how we're monitoring for that, and if that is has been incorporated in any of the C-Camp monitoring parameters.
Not in our watershed-type sites, no. The monitoring has primarily been done through grants in the marine environment, for the most part. There's been some mussels deployed at discharge points, primarily, I think, into the Morro Bay specifically, but those are not part of our routine monitoring at this point.
So I think the point Chair Young was raising was that, you know, there, if we are not trying to determine the source of input on specifically related to cat waste, which is, I guess, the main kind of theory as to how this problem, what the problem is being caused by.
I was just going to say that the research on those questions is continuing, and I think that they are hoping to learn more about sources causing the problems. They're continuing to look at different kinds of mammals on the land, for instance, so they can get better handle on what the possible routes of transmission are. But, I mean, they're taking the questions to the point where they're actually monitoring in wildlife species, for instance, and they have found quite a reservoir in wildcats, mountain lions and bobcats, for example.
So do you see a point in the future where C-Camp might be incorporating that kind of information in their watershed level?
Well, that would take quite a larger budget than what we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I would see continuing to support grant activities associated with those kinds of questions. We have discussed, for example, Sea Clean program has been working quite closely with the sea otter researchers up in the Monterey Bay area, and partnering with them and receiving grants. And they have, I think there's some potential there to, in the future perhaps, look at some of those tests, those organisms in the mussel, suite of mussels that they routinely sample.
Yeah, I'm also aware that NOAA just announced their new water quality program that will link up land use issues with marine resource water quality issues, and there may be some dollars there for us to begin to expand our program since it's an existing resource for us. The other question I had for you is C-Camp only monitors actively every 5 years in a given location. Is that still true?
We have a suite of sites up and down the coast that we call our coastal confluences sites. They're all of the river mouths. Well, not all of them, but all of the larger streams and rivers. I think there's 33 of them. So if you look at it by from the standpoint of the area of the region we monitored, if you consider each site representing a watershed, it's over 90% of the region's area that we're monitoring at the river mouths every month continuously.
And so the five-year cycle, what is that? How does
that? The five-year cycle is the watershed monitoring component. So we've divided the region into five areas, and we go up into the watersheds and put an additional 30 sites in those areas and move each year to a different area. And those we also monitor monthly. During the year, we're monitoring. So it's once every 5 years, but it's for 12 to 15 months when we are there. And actually, it should be every 5 years, but we did have about a two-year hiatus because of funding problems. So it's not quite been at that interval.
Yeah, my interest in understanding that better is that the program we're looking at today has taken, in part, some of the way in which they're approaching their stormwater program from C-Camp, mm-hmm. and I think they're utilizing those upper watershed locations that we saw on the maps that were presented today. So that data is the data I'm talking about that mm-hmm. actually gets
right.
generated every 5 years.
That's right, and that is every 5 years.
Yeah. So in this case with Swamp and the county, in their county efforts and the need to kind of expand their partnering and building on existing information sources. Do you see the opportunity, or are there discussions about building on those sites that the county might be able to qualify for additional support to get more frequent data out of those sites?
Do you mean more frequently than 5 years?
Yeah.
From the standpoint of the CCAMP program, it would be hard for us to accommodate that. But we, you know, strongly believe in partnering and growing, you know, the usability and the capability of our program through those kinds of opportunities. We've done that with the Salinas stormwater monitoring effort, for example, where their monitoring approach is very similar to that taken by CCAMP and the Ag Monitoring Program.
Right.
And, for example, upstream sites for one program are serving as downstream sites for the other. So we've really tried to craft those programs so they fit together, work together.
Okay, one last question. When was the last time this area, and specifically I'm thinking of the swamp areas covered, when was the last time they were monitored? And so where are we in the data gathering cycle?
We're a little ways away. It was in 2002 to 2003. And then, as I mentioned, we had a two-year break. Right now we're in Santa Maria this calendar year. We'll be in Santa Barbara the following, and then the year after that we'll be back in San Luis County area.
Oh, good. Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Shall we move on to... Oh, go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, a quick one for Ryan. If you know, and maybe this is for the county, is the stormwater coordinator position that we were mentioning, you mentioned earlier, is that a temporary position to get this permit going, or is that going to be an ongoing position, county position?
As far as I know, it's an ongoing position. Okay. Yeah, it'll be there. She's going to continue to coordinate.
Okay.
She's instrumental in the Partners for Water Quality also organizing that and keeping that moving along.
Okay, thanks.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
There were some changes made from when the resolution was noticed to what's included in the agenda package. Are those summarized anywhere in the agenda package?
No, they're not.
Can you summarize them? And if you don't have that in front of you, I do, so I can do it.
Right. First of all, findings 15 and 16 in the resolution were added, and those relate to the low-impact development requirements for the county, indicating that that we do expect that they will be mandatory requirements when the county adopts their ordinance.
Sorry, where are we?
This is in the resolution, and all these changes that Ryan are talking about are in your resolution, but there was an earlier draft circulated to the public, and some clarifications were made before it was put in the agenda package. So this is more for the public's information.
And then also,
I've got a red line on my computer, so if it's easier for me to
Okay, yeah, I'm not quite clear which of the lettered items were added.
Under the resolution in paragraph 2, sections O and P were clarified to make clear that 100% of restaurants will be inspected annually, and to clarify the reporting and inspection requirements for the CUPAs. There are various clarifications made throughout the resolution on follow-ups to clarify that for all programs where there were complaints or problems reported, that the county would follow up on 100% of complaints, and that the tracking would involve tracking the response actions as well as the complaint. Um, Section double I was added to require a 30-day comment period before ordinances were revised. Under the Brown Act, the county is only required to give 72 hours notice when it adopts an ordinance, but we increased the notice period. And I think Section LL was added for certifying post-construction BMPs to ensure that there was adequate funding in place approved by the county for the long-term maintenance of BMPs. And the educational and outreach materials for construction, such as the LID information, the SWAMP previously only required that to be distributed for projects of 1 acre or larger in size, which is the projects that are subject to the construction permit. But this is just an education and outreach BMP, so we increased that so that that educational material has to be available for all projects, even if they're not subject to the construction permitting requirement. And that's it.
How is it that the projects less than 1 acre don't fall under, you know, coverage? Is that just by code or statute?
Right. That's what the requirements state. That's also consistent with the construction general permit. It's 1 acre or larger.
What the regulations say is that, well, the construction permit requirements only apply by law to projects of 1 acre in size or more. What the Phase 2 regulations do is provide minimum measures that, if met, will constitute MEP, and one of the minimum measures is to cover sites 1 acre or greater, but the board would have the discretion to include smaller projects if necessary to meet the MEP standard in the board's opinion.
Well, if we had any information
before us.
Which we don't.
Is there any water quality science behind 1 acre?
I don't know where that came from.
I mean, 1 acre is a convenient size because we all know what an acre is, and we use that in terms of measuring. But it seems to me that there's no scientific reason for 1 acre.
Yeah. Not in terms of...
Okay.
Yeah.
There's also a requirement that if there's a plot that's smaller than 1 acre, if it's a part of a larger common plan of development, then it is subject to the permitting requirements. So you can't parcel out projects to avoid those requirements.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions? Did that get everything out, Lori, with respect to the changes to the resolution? Okay. Go ahead.
Ryan, regarding the budget is $1.6 million, $1.64 million, and is that an estimated annual budget, or is it the estimated year one budget?
That's estimated year one budget. That's the information we asked for.
Okay.
The county can provide you more information if they expect that to be continuing on annually after that.
Okay.
But I'm not sure about how far out they can commit.
Thank you.
Well, maybe the county can also address that when they come up. Anything else at this point?
One more question to beat this 1 acre horse again. Do we have any information on the percentage of development projects that are under 1 acre versus the...
I don't have that information.
Okay. These are questions...
It's a good question, because you could have a considerable amount of development in the 1 acre and less size that, you know, collectively could be creating an impact.
Right,
it would totally just
effect.
Go right under the radar on something like this.
But wouldn't that come under, when you were developing a series of 1 acre lots, wouldn't that come under that jurisdiction?
If it's a common plan of development, if they were unrelated projects that happened to be in the same area, it wouldn't be a common plan of development.
So typically you wouldn't see 100 1 acre lots or 1 acre parcels.
Or 0.9
acre lots. So I think that would be a moot point.
Well, that's certainly something the board could ask for reporting information on from the county.
I think we have the information to develop an answer to your question, Gary, and we'll work that up.
And you'll what?
We'll work it up. We'll put that information together.
Okay. For today? Or for...
I doubt we'll be able to do it today, but
right.
I can get it to you.
Okay.
Is that just for San Luis Obispo County, or do you have that region-wide?
You know, I'm thinking we have that that information is available region-wide, okay. And I will look into it. And I think that's a great question, and I will try to develop some kind of a ratio and give you some more information on the question.
We'll work on providing something to the board in May. May EO report.
I'm kind of curious. When staff is involved with these discussions with the discharger, you know, that goes through a period of time, do you have a checklist of things that you're kind of going through yourself in terms of soliciting information and data from a discharger so that you can kind of evaluate what you think may be an area that needs to be looked at a little differently?
Well, we don't have a checklist. We use the permit itself initially. And then lately we've been looking at what the board has approved and trying to make comparisons and what similarities between different communities. But it's difficult to do because they're all unique and they all have their own issues in terms of water quality, land use, and things like that.
So you're basically relying on the discharger to tell you, really come forward through the permit draft itself to give you the information you're looking for.
Also direction from the board.
Right.
Right.
So,
but we want the board, like, this is the first time we're seeing the slow swamp.
Right.
So up until this point, we haven't weighed in on it at all.
Right, but I've used, for example, the county of Santa Barbara and also the Monterey Regional Stormwater Manager Program to look at the type of BMPs that the board was looking for in those areas and the ones that that could be used in San Luis Obispo County. Then we've asked that they include those.
Okay.
San Luis Obispo County, for the most part, stepped up to the plate themselves by reviewing other documents. In the review process, they've been very aware of what's been going on at our board hearings, and they've attended the hearings for Monterey and Santa Barbara County. So it was less of us asking and more of them coming to us, adding more information to their plan.
One thing I noticed, Ryan, that, you know, as I went through the staff report, I didn't find any discussion of what pollutants, if any, were of primary concern. And so I wasn't sure whether that meant that this is kind of an urban area or these areas have the same kinds of stormwater problems as any other discharger in our region. And so the same approach should work here as is being applied elsewhere.
I don't think that there are, and the county I provide better information, but I don't think there was any specific pollutant that jumped out that was something that had to be, that was above and beyond, that needed to be dealt with. The county itself and has looked at the fact that it's a rural county and the potential for pollutants from development is a significant a potential threat. And so that's why they're more aggressive in terms of the low-impact development standards and implementing that and making it a requirement.
And those pollutants would be what? Heavy metals, sediment, bacteria, what?
All that. I mean, low-impact development is effective in removing any number of pollutants. But, yes, oil and grease, metals, sediment, nutrients.
Pathogens.
Okay. Dr. Bowker.
Yes. When I'm looking at this, I see that it's looking towards the future. That is, you have construction site runoff control. You have post-construction control, which is, as an emphasis, which is low-impact development, and you have good housekeeping on existing storm drains and the like, okay? Where I see a deficiency is those areas in which have an ongoing problem that's historical. The case in point I would give you is Palisade Street in Los Osos. It comes down to the hill, crosses Los Osos Valley Road. There is no storm drains or gutters. That street, in a rain event, becomes the conduit for the water and can be up to 4 to 6 inches deep, flows across Los Osos Valley Road, and erodes the field adjacent. So what we have is a historical poor design, and there needs to be some attempt to rectify those situations. I'm sure that's not a single incident in the county.
Right.
So that's. I mean, I see the stormwater plan moving towards the future or maintaining what's in place,
right,
but I don't see it rectifying past design errors.
I think, first of all, the post-construction requirements are for development and for redevelopment. So if when areas are redeveloped and someone goes in to get a permit to reconstruct a site or rebuild it, they're going to be required to comply with the low-impact development standards. In terms of design flaws that were approved previously and are problematic here, I'm not sure how that's going to be addressed.
Let me use the same scenario for the redevelopment. What you have is individual house lots under an acre, well under an acre. So any redevelopment that does occur, unless it's an enormous population explosion, is going to be onesies and twosies. One person wants to remodel his house here, put in a garage there. So it will never rise to the level of a one-acre development. So the problem is never going to be fixed. They're all homeowners,
right,
small lot homeowners. So there's probably not going to be a significant redevelopment problem that would trigger corrective factors.
Well, there's other ways to address it besides the stormwater permit. There's the ordinance that the county's going to be developing that could address the situation and require some kind of mitigation from these individual developments. If there are isolated problems like Palisade Street, we have the ability to put prohibitions in permits. It's not in this permit, but there are ways that we could use the stormwater permit to require upgrades to storm drain systems. I mean, basically, the street is part of the MS4 in that situation. So it is something that we could regulate. I don't know that we have information adequate at this point to impose any requirements like that, but if it's a concern, the board can require the county to report in the first annual report on situations like that.
Right.
We can probably get into that with the county. When, and they're going to have an hour to do their presentation. We can, right, setting the stage. I understand that. Any other comments to set the stage? Okay. Let's take a break because the county, when we resume, will have an hour to go through its presentation. And I do have so far about 9-10 speaker cards. And Mr. Rocano, you put runoff here. Did you want to speak about the San Luis Obispo County permit?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Why don't we reconvene at 25 after?